This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Have you ever wanted to learn how to surf? Are you up for the challenge of trying to stand up and face the waves? It turns out that surfing might be more than just fun. It could help improve your mental health. With The Answers, Senior Research Fellow and Clinical Psychologist at Deakin University, Lisa Olive. Lisa, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Before we dive into the psychological benefits, Lisa, generally, what are people's views on surfing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the people we spoke to are a bit of a converted population, either surfers themselves or people participating in the program. But, you know, it's something that anyone who's tried, I guess, you know, this word stoked comes to mind, and everyone gets the feeling of being stoked when they get out and catch a wave, and generally positive things. Of course, there's another side to surfing, but let's focus on the positive today, I guess.
Lisa, in what ways can surfing improve our mental health?
Yeah, so we've just done some research as a partnership between Deakin Uni and Ocean Mind, which is a surf therapy program out of Torquay on the Victorian Surf Coast. And what we found was that among young people, those who received the six-week surf therapy program had reductions in things like depression, anxiety, symptoms of hyperactivity and inattention, which are common in ADHD disorders, and as well as more general things like fewer emotional problems and fewer peer problems, which is really exciting.
Absolutely. Lisa, how does surfing achieve these mental health improvements?
Yeah, so I think in terms of the science, we're still catching up on this, but, you know, we do know a few things, and particularly with these sort of programs where people are surfing in a group, it seems to be things like an increased sense of social connection among surfers, but also this idea for young people, especially who are learning a skill like surfing, which is challenging. This psychological term called self-efficacy, or this idea, comes to mind where they get this sense of accomplishment that they've been able to achieve something that they didn't think they could at the start. And what we find is that that idea of being able to try something challenging and be successful has transferred to other areas in their life, like in school for young people, which is really exciting.
We're chatting to Senior Research Fellow and Clinical Psychologist at Deakin University, Lisa Olive, about how learning to surf could improve your mental health. Lisa, you just mentioned about that sense of accomplishment. I'm just wondering, could these results be applied to other sports as well? Like it might be skiing, it might be, you know, skydiving or something, and we would get the same improvements in mental health?
Yeah, I would expect that you'd get a similar outcome for anywhere where you sort of, I guess, challenging yourself to a level where you're able to be successful. So in our in the Ocean Mind Surf Therapy program, the kids were paired with a mentor one-on-one, and so it created a really safe emotional and physical environment for them to be able to take risks, to step outside their comfort zone and know that they were going to get the coaching or the support that they might need in that moment. But yeah, I certainly think that would translate to things like, you know, other outdoor nature-based activities. And there is a research base for things like programs like Outward Bound and things like that showing similar effects, which is really exciting.
Lisa, when these kids and young adults finished the program, it was a few weeks, 8 or 9 weeks, right? When they finished the program, did those positive mental health gains remain?
Yeah, so what we found was that at the conclusion of the program at 6 weeks, kids had these improvements in those symptoms that I mentioned compared to a control group, which hasn't happened before in surf therapy research, which means compared to kids who didn't get the program, who actually increased in mental health symptoms, but what we did find was that those improvements actually weren't sustained once the program finished 6 weeks later. So definitely points to a lot more work to be done. So, for example, we need to sort of do more research to work out Is the frequency of the dose that we're giving with surf therapy and the duration of the program enough to sustain long-term outcomes, or do we need to sort of help link these kids in once we get them lifted up to other programs or other mental health supports that can help them continue to maintain those early positive improvements? So lots of work still to be done there.
Lisa, I'm just thinking of people who perhaps aren't as agile to be able to do something such as surfing or another sort of, you know, activity of that kind. What could they do instead? Is it still that sense of accomplishment if they do something that perhaps is more suitable to their physical ability?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because surf therapy is actually, there's a lot of programs out there that are, you know, all about inclusivity, and there's a lot of stuff around adaptive surf. So it's actually, you know, producing equipment that does allow people who aren't as agile or who, you know, may have a physical impairment to actually participate in this. And the stoke on those faces of these young people in those programs is amazing. But like you said, you know, it's not only agile people, but, you know, surfing can be a bit of a privileged activity in terms of access to the ocean, access to equipment. So, you know, there is research to support that other similar nature-based activities like hiking or gardening can also have benefits to our mental health.
Lisa, super interesting research. And as you said, there's still more to learn. So we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us about it this afternoon.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Lisa Olive, Senior Research Fellow and Clinical Psychologist at Deakin University.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.